Thanks for listening to the Tech Tools for Teachers podcast, where each week we talk about a free piece or two of technology that you can use in your classroom. I'm your host, Shanna Martin. I'm a middle school teacher, technology coach, and personalized learning coordinator for my district.
And I'm Fuzz. I'm her husband, and I'm sitting at the counter in the kitchen where we've been working for an entire week.
Day six at the kitchen counter.
Yeah. I think we're starting to get into the swing of things, and things are actually, you know, I know there's uncertainty in the world, and there's, government officials throwing around words like indefinite, which throw teachers into a tizzy, and I totally understand that. But I feel like as a family, we're starting to get in the swing of things.
Yeah, we've made it through a full week, and we've moved around the house. We've rearranged. So now you have an office in the dining room.
I do.
We started off in the basement.
Didn't work.
Which was very cold.
Yes.
So we're like, yeah, that's not going to work. So you have an office in the dining room. And then one of the children's bedrooms is used for webinars and Zoom sessions and video conferencing and conference calls. So we use a bedroom for that. And then we have like our common space as the kitchen counter where we are right now. And we're working it out.
Yeah, we're working out. It's everybody's in the same boat. And for the most part, I haven't run into anybody who hasn't been really cooperative, though I haven't really run into anybody because we've been in quarantine. So,
So this week, because this is kind of new for everyone, where you either like you're completely at home or you have a job or you're out of the house and maybe half your family is gone for a chunk of time. And it's just very uncertain about how things are working.
Yep.
So because of that, we decided that not only are we going to support teachers this week, but we're going to support parents as well.
Right.
Because I know as an educator, like we're doing distance learning. We've got all that set up. Like my students have worked a full week. Like we even take attendance and everything. Like our kids are kind of in the swing of things, but not everybody has that case. Right. And for some parents who you're trying to do your job, like your regular work at home, and if the kids have less schoolwork, like they don't have as many social interactions, like all of the things that happen in a school day, then you're like, my kid needs to be busy.
Yeah.
And you don't want them watching TV the whole time. So we've tried to come up with some sites that would be helpful to support parents, maybe with academics at home or different ideas to help parents out while your kids are home learning.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's truly a thing. My company is all work from home, and we have 85 employees, and a number of them are parents with multiple children and multiple grade levels, and they're trying to do their normal work, their professional work, and also their responsibility to their children to keep them learning, and we know it can be tough. It's tough for us, we know that it can be tough even for those who don't have a teacher in the household to be able to
just have stuff, like to have the supplies for things. So I think we're just kind of gonna go through some sites that would be helpful in kind of any home with
so
a variety
if
of grade levels.
If you're an educator listening, and we thank you for listening every week, you can use this in your own home. Some of these will be applicable for you with your students, I think, and then
these will be sites that you can use with your students or within your home with your own children.
Or you can share this episode or even the blog post that's at smartandwi.com with this episode with parents and help them to
just have resources.
Yeah, feel more comfortable with some resources and know that somebody's out there looking out for them.
Yes. All right, so let's get started. The first website we're going to talk about today is freckle.com. It is a site that covers a variety of, it covers all grade levels. It starts in like first grade all the way up through 12th grade, and it's a supplemental website. So as a teacher, you can use it in your classroom, and you're able to use it to help kids with like RTI. So if you're going to be, or various other things, but if you want supplemental work for students, so extra grammar practice, extra like understanding of a variety of vocabulary practice, or mm-hmm. if they need if math, if they need online practice, or if they need additional resources or fluency practice or
social studies, science, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but the main two that it focuses on are language arts and math.
Okay.
So while there is some supplemental materials for social studies and science, the main things you can use online are for reading and math.
Okay.
And what you do is, as a parent, you would sign up as an educator and you just throw your own child in your class. Or as an educator, you can create a class. And you can use the free version. They do have a paid version that gets fancier, but basically you can do skills practice with Freckle.
Okay.
And what's kind of nice about it is if it adapts to students' levels. So a student, they do like a pre-assessment. They go in and they see what levels they're at for, like, let's say vocabulary. And then it will assess them, see what grade level they're at, and then mm-hmm. it will work through them, work through from the level they're at, and like give them more and more difficult things, and it kind of checks back. So it's adaptive. So as they're doing math or reading skills, it challenges them, which is kind of nice. But also, Freckle has printable resources. So there's actual like sheets that kind of go with the online practice. So if you're trying to get kids off their screens because they've been on the screens too much, but you still want them to have supplemental work, you can actually print the sheets and have supplemental work that way. So Freckle does both, both online practice that will go and adapt to reading math levels, or you can actually print off resources as well. So that is Freckle. So for parents, you could just sign up as an educator, and it's really quick. You sign in with Google, you kind of would throw your kid into your roster, and then you would be able to kind of supplement from there. Another site that works very similar to that, and I think most people are familiar with, is Khan Academy.
Yep.
What's interesting, though, is I don't know if every parent knows. Teachers use Khan a lot as supplemental resources in their classroom because there's the videos that go with everything, math practice. It's fantastic. But I've always used it as a parent. So the eldest in the house, who's now 15, she's been working. I think I've had her in Khan since she's been 11, and we've always done it in the summer as a supplemental resource. But as a parent, you sign up. So Khan can be specific to parents, and you can track your kids. So you sign up for Khan, you go in, you can assign them, like we signed her up for math in like fifth grade. And she still goes back now by choice and uses the resources. And I get, every time she goes into Khan, I still have my parent account set up. And at this point, she just uses it because she wants to, because we don't have her do it regularly. But as a parent, you get a report. This is what your kid did. This is how many minutes they were on. This is what they've done. And you can track all of that as a parent, which is really nice.
Yeah.
So everything with Khan is free.
In the summertime, it really helps to not have your kids lose the
summer slide.
And, you know, given the situation that we're currently in with the COVID crisis, the summer kind of started now.
And it depends on actually what state you're in, or even like where you are in the world. It depends on where you're at. But with Khan, it's kind of nice because teachers use it again. But as a parent, you can get reports on your kids, so you can know what they're doing or if they stay. Like I always set hers at like 45 minutes every 3 days or something like that. And we get the report and then I know if she's working. But it's not just math. And I think people miss that. Like there's preschool leveled work in here. So you can do preschool math or early math, you can all the way up through pre-calculus and trig. But there's also arts and humanities like U.S. history, AP government. I know the AP tests, they're changing them. Because of what's going on.
Yeah.
And so if your kids need to practice for AP tests, there is practice here in Khan. So that might be something to look at. And then there's ELAs in like beta format right now. So just go through, click on courses, and there is tons of supplemental resources if you're looking for additional help for your kids or extra practice that they're going to need. So Khan, I know that everyone kind of knows it does math videos, but it does so much more than that. They even have a Khan Kids app that's ages 2 to 7 that you can use, like on an iPad. So
there have been times even when our eldest has struggled with a math problem that maybe she couldn't figure out from the teaching she had at school.
Mm-hmm.
And
she'll watch the videos.
She'll watch the video, and then it makes sense to her. Mm-hmm. And able to go from there. So even outside of all of this, even, you know, when they're just doing homework at home, mm-hmm. it's a great way to help, you know. You might not remember calculus as, or, you know,
I never took
trigonometry as a parent. You may have forgotten that because you might not use it in your day-to-day life. But if your child comes to you and says, I need help with this,
mm-hmm.
That's a good resource to go to say, hey, take a look at this, watch this video. And if you still can't answer it, then email your teacher.
Yes. There you go. The next sites we're going to do kind of focus on outside of in reading and math, social studies and the rest of the world kind of going on around us. National Geographic actually has a really cool resource. It's nationalgeographic.org. I guess I didn't go through websites today. The first one is freckle.com. The second
that
one is
easy.
khanacademy.com.
K-H-A-N.
Yes. And then the third one, nationalgeographic.org. And then you do /education. And they have educational resources. So, like, they have suggestions, like, what to teach this month, Women of NASA, and you click on it, and then there's cool resources, and there's articles about what went on in history at the time, and there's cool information that goes along with that. But then it also gives you, under education, they have classroom resources, they have libraries, they have mapping. So if you're looking just for something for your kid to kind of explore through, they have Map Maker Interactive, which is fun. They can build maps using like world maps and use the online tool to pick out like, you know, different places in the world.
Yeah.
Or identify what's going on. So it's kind of cool for kids to explore through National Geographic. And the education section is specific for educators, but also great for supplemental materials as well. Another social is one I've talked about before, which if you're a parent and your kids love to game and you want them to earn maybe game time while you're home with them, but you want them to be educational and not like Slither Joe.
Yeah.
So iCivics.org
mm-hmm.
is something I use in my classroom a lot. It reinforces the skills that you learn in social studies.
Yeah.
And under play, you have games, which I use. So like Cast Your Vote, Election Day is coming. It teaches kids about voting practices, which is relevant.
Yeah.
Crisis of Nations. It talks about handling international crises. And it's a game based on that. And it's like educational as you're going through. They have Immigration Nation, which my kids play, and you have these little like characters that are coming from different places. They have Lawcraft, so you learn about how laws are made in Congress and passed. They have Win the White House, which is your a presidential candidate and you mm-hmm. run. So these games, each one, when you go to the site, it's cool because it says playtime, so how long it would take a student to play or a kid to play on average.
Yep.
So you know, like, this is a 15-minute game. Great. Most of them, they're really well done. So they're cartooned. They have sound. So your kid's going to want headphones or earbuds because they listen to the directions. So if you have a younger student that's going to play and you know that they can't read all of the directions,
oh, yeah.
the games will walk
Tell
you
them,
through
yeah.
them. So if
yep.
you have headphones, they like say, okay, now click on this. And they walk you through how to play the game. So none of them, this is like 30 plus minutes. I don't think any of them really go more than like 40 at the max. Like they're not, it depends on how long you sit there and play them. But they're definitely educational, but fun and mm-hmm. relevant to what's going on in the world right now, which is pretty cool.
So iCivics.org/games?
Yes. Yes. And again, a favorite in my classroom is Win the White House. I think every kid, like I have had so many students download it and be like, I have it on my phone and I was playing. I'm like, what, at home? And they're like, yeah.
So you usually do this lesson in your class where they create a presidential candidate, right?
Yes.
When does that normally happen in the school year?
In the fall.
Oh, it's in the fall. So you've already done it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we did it. I do it in the fall around election time.
Okay.
So
oh, around November. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. In November. So we do it usually end of October, November, and then we run our election on election day.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if that was something that happens in the spring, in which case.
No. Yeah. But my kids are already done, but my kids have played in the White House, and I still, I give it back to them as a review, even like how a bill becomes a law. And then, so these, I have each unit that I teach kind of has one of these games that go with it. So
sure.
The kids play them supplementally and apparently at home for fun. But
more power to them.
Yeah. And they're really engaging. I mean, I like to play them, but they're also learning stuff. Our next site is another one we've talked about before, but just, if you want to be practicing your world languages, Duolingo, I think, is the go-to for everybody. You've talked about it. We've used it a lot. What I thought was fun is, so the eldest, who's 15,
mm-hmm.
who is out of school, obviously, right now we're all not in school, but she was like, yeah, so I've been practicing. I'm making sure I'm continuing with my Spanish, because she's in Spanish 4. And she's like, so I've been doing my Duolingo lesson every day. And the girls created, they have check sheets of like their plan for the day. And she's like, she put her Duolingo in there to keep practicing her Spanish. And like, she does that on her own. Did not like prompt her to do that. But as a parent, if you are having younger students and you want to just do like a beginning
mm-hmm.
Spanish or French or German, or Duolingo has so many language options while we're all hanging out here for the next however many weeks, we could all learn some new languages.
Yeah.
I almost feel like I need to pick up some. I've always wanted to learn French, and I can count. That's about it. Maybe I should start learning French while I'm hanging out and
maybe
working and teaching and everything else.
Yeah.
But Duolingo is such a great, well laid out site that as a parent,
awesome.
If you want to support either kids that are just starting to learn a language
mm-hmm.
or something kind of fun to do as a family, you could practice and throw a lesson. I think lessons are short. I feel like they're like 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, you can do a lesson in 5 minutes. I did it was a year straight. I did not miss my streak. And we talked about this a bit on episode 33. But I speak German. I took German for 4 years in high school and... four years ish. But I took it. We have clients at my company. We have clients in Germany. We went over to Germany a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a lesson every single day for a year just to brush back up. And it's so good. I sometimes find myself thinking in German or just speaking German to the children.
There's stories read in German in this house. But. Like the, you know, there's pictures and flashcards. It's not like super strenuous. It's very easy.
It's very gamified, extremely gamified.
So as a family, you could even say, hey, if we're all home, you know, each morning or each evening, we're going to, you know, practice a few words. It's just kind of cool. And it's so easy to use that you can either encourage your children or, you know, as a family, or if you're interested, Duolingo would be something to kind of pick up on or brush up on. Different world languages, which would be very cool.
It's a great site.
Some of our other sites. So moving forward, I feel like those were very academic focused.
Yep.
The next one is really, it's artsy, but just for fun. It's Quick Draw.
Oh, yes.
Quick Draw, DRAW dot with, WITH, Google.com. Quick Draw with Google. And it's set up as, can a neural network learn to recognize doodling? So all you do is you click the Let's Draw button. It says draw a basket in 20 seconds. So you attempt to like draw whatever picture they throw at you. And at the bottom of your screen, it literally guesses what I'm drawing. So right now it says I'm drawing a blueberry. It's a flying saucer. It's a piece of bread. Apparently, this does not look like a basket. It's a lock. It's a purse. It's a cupcake. And I failed. Draw grapes. Okay. So all it does is it gives you a timer, and you have to be able to draw pictures in Google. And then it's grapes. It got it. Hooray. And so it just throws these little fun drawing challenges out. So if you, it's really entertaining.
Yeah, I'm, I just got 6 for 6 in the time you started talking about.
Nice. Well, good for you. I got 2 while I was talking at the same time.
So it's quickdraw.withgoogle.com.
And you can do it on an iPad. You could do it, well, any sort of tablet. You can do it on a Chromebook. You can do it with a touchpad,
yep.
Or a mouse. And it's just, it's highly entertaining. And you just draw doodles, and Google tries, you try and get Google to guess that you have drawn what they gave you.
Yeah, that's really fun. It's kind of like Pictionary and Solitaire all in one.
So that's fun and, yes, quick entertainment.
Good.
The second one is called Pixel Art.
Okay.
So that is pixilart.com. And you can create and share, create an account, it's up to you, or you just start drawing. And there's like parents and teacher guidance, kind of, there's some explanations in there, and they give you a blank page and you just start drawing.
Oh.
And there's templates and there's all kinds of, there's pens and pencils and erasers and filler and colors, and you get to draw. You just get to draw. You can save your drawings if you want to. You also can download your drawings if you want to. And you can pick the different sizes that you're downloading in. And it's really kind of cool. It's just a fun little way to create some art or draw and kind of release a little bit. My thought always is like a little, not even a brain break, but like art class, like go yeah. be creative. Like you've done enough. If you're on a screen, stop staring at screen. But you can also.
Yes, there's also this thing called paper and pencil.
Right, where you could draw and doodle. Where
you can get a piece of paper and a pencil, which is, those are physical objects, and put it on a table.
You can. and take out some markers and some paper. But they also have GIF frames where you can like set it up, and there's just different things that you can add different frames. So anyway, there's lots of things, but it's kind of fun. You can download it and then they can use it for something.
Yeah, or that's cool.
If they're going to draw pictures and then email them.
I'm telling you what, if you need friends. To hop on a phone call for work and you need 10 minutes.
Yes.
And you open up Pixel Art.
Yes.
This is a good way to get your kids doing something that makes their mind think and also will give you a few minutes.
Correct.
Of your own space.
Correct.
So.
Because sometimes paper and pencil, while you can do it for a while, sometimes the screen also helps.
Yes. So it's Pixel Art.
Eyes,
it's,
but.
It's pixelart.com, but it's pixilart.com, not EL. Correct. Like you would normally spell pixel.
Correct. The last site that I have is Go Noodle, which we've talked about before with Brain Breaks. But what Go Noodle has done, actually, with all that's going on,
yeah,
they have made some adjustments. And so while you usually have to pay for Go Noodle, they have released a bunch of free versions or free videos
okay.
that are... They're like brain breaks. So yoga, dancing, challenges, stretching, movement is the whole goal of Go Noodle if you've not used it before. But it's called Go Noodle Good Energy. And you click on as a parent and they have a whole variety that they've opened up. So before this stuff used to be paid,
mm-hmm.
a lot of it was paid. Now, because they want kids up and moving and they want... things happening
yeah.
that for health reasons. They've opened up a lot of stuff, which is awesome. So it's family, FAMILY.GoNoodle.com. And so they've opened up a bunch of what educators were paying for before. And you still are have some paid parts, but for families then they have created a space where you can throw these up on your TV or on a screen. And like great big moose, like there's a song and a dance. They have strength and focus, and they have a yoga section. And each of these videos is under 4 minutes, but they're basically just to get movement happening in your mm-hmm. house, kids up and moving. They have all their little channels that you can kind of pick from. But it's kind of cool that they have released that, especially for families right now, is that you can get the kids up and moving and breaks between their academics and their... They're fun and they're highly entertaining for that.
Yeah. So family.gonoodle.com?
Family.gonoodle.com. for that. But we've also, and you and I have talked about this, I think, while our big focus is always on tech, we're also trying to also not be in front of our screens all of the time.
Yes.
So you have come up with our house way of getting away from screens.
Yes.
Too.
I mean, so we do a, I guess it's kind of like a workout of the day here at our house. And I do it for me. So I have my, you know, I've got my dumbbells. I don't have a ton of equipment here. I typically would work out at a gym.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got a few sets of dumbbells at varying weight. I've got some PVC pipes that we can use for stretching and for like overhead stuff.
They're narrow, by the way.
Yeah. He's got like thin. Yeah, they're like the
like 1 inch.
Like at a CrossFit gym, they use PVC pipes as like a training bar type thing, or for using for stretching and stuff like that. So I've just been using that as a, you know, kind of using the tools that we have available to us, right? Like using the steps to the basement for mm-hmm. doing box step ups and things. But for the kids, what I do each day is I create a workout, and there is an app called Interval Timer. All one word, interval timer, and you can set like every minute on the minute clock. So you can set a clock up to say for 12 minutes, it's going to ding every minute. And you can set up like, you know, like three different things for kids to do each minute. So, you know, our little one is really into horses right now. So she wanted to act like
she's
a horse.
A horse workout.
Yeah. So we created a horse workout where the first minute she runs around the couch three times. We call them horsey gallops. The second minute she crawls around the couch twice. And the third minute she side shuffles, which horses don't do, but
which
she doesn't
is galloping
even,
though or something.
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah, it's yeah. like side shuffle thing is something she, I know that she'll do. So she does that.
Mm-hmm.
With the older child,
and then she repeats that. So that's a 3 minute interval.
Yeah, so it's
then
3 minutes.
Yeah,
So every minute she does one of those movements, and then it repeats until mm-hmm. the timer's done. So again, the app is called Interval Timer, and it's free. Once you're done with once you complete a workout, it will play an ad. But it's pretty mm-hmm. easy and not obtrusive. With the older child, what I've done, and she does the same workouts I do and does them, frankly, better than I do now as a 15-year-old, and I'm 41. So we've created a list. I have a list of like 75 different workouts. I just brainstormed things that we could do, movements that we could do.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a if you type in Google random number generator, it automatically in the search results, Google has a random number generator that you have up there. So I put in from the spreadsheet 1 to 75.
Mm-hmm.
I hit generate, and then I use that line as the first movement we're doing for the workout. Mm-hmm. And then I'll pick another one and another one.
And that's how you create your workout. So and it's then, not like, oh, I don't want to do burpees
correct.
Today.
Yeah. So like, so tomorrow we're doing up downs. I hate up downs, but we're going to do them just because.
That's what the workout
part
is.
It's what the workout is. And, mm-hmm. you know, if there's something that you like to do, like do the things you don't like to do. Train your weaknesses. But you could also then say, like, oh, I like mm-hmm. to do air squats. So I'll just add air squats in there also.
Mm-hmm.
But don't cheat yourself.
Right.
So
that's how we're staying active.
Yeah. Yeah. So interval
in the house,
timer.
Yeah.
Use that for every minute on the minute, or if you want to say, even if you want to use it for non-workout stuff, you want mm-hmm. to just say like you've got, you know, you can watch TV for 10 minutes and then you've got to do 10 minutes of cleaning
mm-hmm.
and then you can watch another 10 minutes of TV and do 10 minutes of chores.
Yeah. You can set the timer to ding.
You can set the timer to ding and you can really, I mean, it's.
You can organize a cabinet in 10 minutes.
Exactly.
Ding. Now you're in 10 minutes on the iPad.
Right.
Ding.
Exactly. So it's nice. pretty good app, and it's free. So
cool.
It qualifies for this show.
Awesome. So here's hoping that we have hopefully shared some ideas to help support parents while you're at home working and teaching and being parents all at the same time. And we really appreciate everybody in all of the things that are going on right now. Yeah. So stick with it, everybody.
If you see a nurse or a doctor, what the heck are you doing out of the house? Or then hopefully they live with you. But thank them.
Yes. And everybody else, all of the, oh my gosh, there's so many people to thank right now.
Like,
so
yes, yeah.
Thank you all.
Support your local businesses.
Yeah.
And thank a teacher, of course. If you are a teacher, you probably are a teacher. If you are a teacher, thank you. If you are
all the truck drivers out there,
if you're a family member, thank your kids' teachers. Yes, the truck drivers,
the delivery people. Oh my goodness,
yeah,
so many people. So thank you all. Thank you for tuning in. This has been the Tech Tools for Teachers podcast. If you ever have any questions, you can find me on Twitter at SmartNWI. And if you want to get more information on the links to the technology discussed in this episode, visit SmartNWI.com. Something, please share that with other teachers as well. Yeah. Like the EdTech Directory has been used a lot by a lot of people now. Mm-hmm. It's there as a tool. So please share that with other people so they have those online resources as well. New episodes each week. Thank you for listening. Go educate and innovate.
And by the way, quick update, the SmartNWI EdTech Directory is being updated to be searchable. It's gotten so big. We've got, before this episode, we had 144 different pieces of technology on there, and it's growing. So we're making some updates as fast as I can get them into the system. So, but we'll have that up and running here very soon, and it'll be categorized and all that stuff. So, thank you for all of your support and listening over the last year and a half. It's been pretty great. Year and a quarter. Mm-hmm. The ideas and opinions expressed on this podcast and the SmartNWI website are those of the author, Shanna Martin, and not of her employer. Prior to using any of the technologies discussed on this podcast, please consult with your employer regulations. This podcast offers no guarantee that these tools will work for you as described, but we hope they do, and we thank you for listening. Talk to you next week.